Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by David Scott Naver. David is a senior solution consultant working for Salesforce in the US. He has an incredible story, having spent many, many years in the military, and went on an interesting journey when he knew he was leaving the military to find out what career he could move into before ultimately finding the Salesforce platform. I'll let David run through his journey into Salesforce and how he's made that a success, but this is an amazing episode for anyone that's looking to carve out a career in the ecosystem, build their own personal brand, or just wants to be inspired by someone like David. I really hope you'll enjoy this episode. And if you do, please do subscribe for future episodes that are coming through.
So David, thank you very much for joining us today from the US. Really excited to hear more about your story and the journey you've had so far in the Salesforce world.
Yeah, thanks very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, we've got a lot to run through. So I always start with life before Salesforce. And you've got a particularly interesting story before Salesforce. You know, often we speak to people and they were computer engineers or but you were very much a non-techie. So can you tell us a bit about life before you ended up in the world that we know now of the Salesforce ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm fourth generation Navy. The military is really all I've known. I kind of had my career planned out since I was five. So I left college and was commissioned as a United States Naval officer in aviation. So I was a naval flight officer. And I spent the next 20 years working as a Navy officer flying jets and got out in 2019. But just prior to that, I was looking around for, you know, my next greatest adventure and trying to decide what I wanted to do when I grew up. And so I had some interesting challenges and faced a lot of questions that I wasn't sure I had the answers to.
Sure.
But it turned out okay.
Yeah, it sure did. So if you look back at kind of when you were in the military and when you were thinking about potentially, you know, the day that you'd leave, what had the earlier thoughts been like when you didn't even know of Salesforce? Like what were you thinking you potentially would go on to do after the military?
Yeah, so, I mean, I became a single father really at the pinnacle of my career. And when that happened, when I got both my boys and I was taking care of them full time, it limited my ability to be able to deploy. And so at that point, I kind of knew that my career progression in the Navy was limited. And at that point, I pretty much knew exactly when I'd be able to retire. So when I hit the 20-year mark, that's when I would have to find something else to do. And so that, I guess it was disappointing in a way, but it was also liberating because I had a date I could plan to. And I'm a planner. So I knew the exact day that I would need to have a career. So I began looking 5 years out and really just racking my brain for what I wanted to do. I had mostly led projects in the Navy. You know, if you look at it from a strategic view, that's basically what I was doing. And so I was like, okay, I'll be a, you know, project program manager. And so I got my project management professional, my PMP, a Lean Six Sigma black belt. I got my certified Scrum Master. I got an MBA and all these certifications and degrees, another master's degree on the side. But when I started talking to recruiters, well, they're like, you know, great, Dave, you're looks like you're qualified. You've been leading projects for a long time. You have all these certifications. What industry do you want to go into? And that stumped me. I had no idea. All I'd ever known was Navy. I was like, I don't know. I just want to lead projects, you know, naively. But the more I thought about it, and the more I couldn't answer their questions, it forced me to realize that, you know, maybe this wasn't the role for me and I needed to rethink it. So I spent years really racking my brain at that point, you know, for what I wanted to do until I kind of the light bulb went on and I decided upon the Salesforce ecosystem.
So you had 5 years where you knew, like, in 5 years' time, I'm going to be exiting the Navy and I'm going to be out in the world and I need to find a job. So how much of that time was spent studying for the project management and program management space? And then how much time did you have left between when you realized potentially that wasn't what you wanted to do and before you were going to be in a position where you needed a job?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I spent a good 4 years of that five-year period getting the certifications, going back to college, getting a couple different degrees, and padding my resume with some industry recognized certifications so that I could increase my chance of getting hired. And really about a year prior to retiring, is when I realized this is not the path for me. I need a different path, and I don't know what that is. And that's kind of when the panic set in.
Yeah, I was going to say that must be a really daunting moment because, you know, you spent 4 years preparing for something that you then realize isn't what you're going to do, and you've got 1 year left. So, like, how did you approach that? What was the next step?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was especially daunting, too, because we're a single paycheck family, and so I couldn't afford a gap in employment. I had to step into a role that was comparable in pay and benefits to the one that I was leaving, and so that was just some added pressure. But I approached it from a strategic view, and I was looking into all the different resources that are available to veterans, and there's a phenomenal amount, which is great, but it also presents a problem. Like, if there's so many resources available, which ones do you select? You know, which ones are better suited for you? I was lucky in that I found a nonprofit organization that provides a unique experience for veterans. They're called 4Block, and they have national programs. They're virtual right now due to the pandemic. But they teach you how to brand yourself and how to market your personal brand so you can communicate your value to potential employers. And then they introduce you to those employers and they help you to have conversations around whatever industry you're examining that particular week. And so with their help, I figured out how to create and market that personal brand, which is not a skill you learn in the military. It's not a valued skill. And unless someone teaches you, you know, you just don't know how to do it as a veteran that's leaving the military. And so I went through that program and I kind of had a sense for how to do that. So I had the tools now, but then I had to find what I wanted to apply that tool to. And so I spent a lot of time on LinkedIn. You know, I joined veteran groups. I reached out to folks. I had informational interviews, talked to them about their jobs. And I was able to do exploring of roles and kind of virtually take a tour of that job by talking to many different folks that had the job in phone calls, just quick 15-minute phone calls, to be able to figure out what was within the realm of possible and what was interesting. And it was during those phone calls that someone said, hey, you should look into Salesforce. I was like, I don't know what that is. And I'm really not interested in sales. So I don't think that's for me. Sure. And they're like, no, just check it out. They do other stuff too.
Yeah, it's funny how many people hear the word Salesforce and immediately like, well, I don't want to get on the phones and start making cold calls. When did Salesforce then, from that conversation, when did Salesforce become a serious potential career path for you?
Yeah, so about the 11 month prior to retirement mark is when I created my first Trailhead or my Trailhead account and completed my first badge. And I was like, you know, I'll go in and there's all these free resources and I love free. And so Trailhead is obviously a free learning platform for everybody all over the world. And then Salesforce provides a very special, I guess, gift for veterans and spouses where they will take care of your certification charges and your courses for free. It's the Military Trailblazer community. And so when I found out about both of those, I was like, well, I'll do a little digging and see what it's like. And so I completed one badge turned into five turned into 10. And I very quickly realized that I loved it. You know, I'm a process-oriented person. I love fixing processes, creating processes, you know, sorting and organizing information in dynamic ways to tell a story. And that's all what I found in Salesforce. And so I was hooked at that point.
Sure. So then how did you go from, because a lot of people find themselves deep in Trailhead, but don't know how to turn that into a career.
Right.
So what did that path look like for you from kind of falling in love with the platform and getting, you know, joy out of solving problems in a structured environment? Where were the next steps for you to realize a career in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so I mean, I knew that if I wanted to get hired because I was kind of an industry outsider with no previous tech experience and no previous Salesforce experience, I had to have a plan. So again, I fell back to my process-oriented mind, and I was like, I need a process in order to break into this industry. And so I took a look at the things that the ecosystem values through reading blogs and through connecting with folks on LinkedIn and through Twitter to really determine how I was going to do that. And it became clear after a while that there's really three things that you need in order to be successful in the ecosystem. And over the course of that 11 months, I refined those requirements as I understood them and began putting a significant amount of time toward each one of those three requirements. And what they are is, you know, you have to have knowledge of the platform, right? To do any job, you have to know how to do the job. I mean, that goes without saying. But you also have to show that you've done the job. So you have to have work experience. And that's what trips a lot of people up. It's like, well, how can I get hired, you know, if I have to have work experience before I get hired? And luckily, there's ways around that. And the Salesforce, you know, economy has provided those through volunteering, through internships, through part-time work, And then the third thing, which is what Forblock taught me, was, okay, now that you have, you know, knowledge of the platform, you know what you're doing, you've been volunteering for a while and you have that work experience, or you can show that, hey, I can take this theoretical knowledge and I can apply it to a business problem and solve that business challenge using the Salesforce platform. Okay, that's good. But then even if you have those two things, if no one knows about it, you're not going to get offers. You have to then, you know, create this personal brand around yourself and market that personal brand to tell people that you have these skills and that you have this work experience. And once you do that and you tie all those things together, that starts to create momentum around yourself and opens you up to opportunities. And so, and you have to do it for a while. I mean, you've got to spend a significant amount of time learning and continuously learning, you know, practicing your craft. And there's even ways to get work experience if no one will take you on for an internship or for part-time work. You know, you can complete super badges. You can create your own dev org and create apps and then broadcast that on social media, you know, through demos to show people that you have the skills that they're going to be looking for in a job. And I've known folks that have done that and been very successful in getting noticed. But as you do these things over time and you put it out and you're generating content on social media, you know, marketing your brand and telling people about what you're doing, then people become interested in you. They begin to see you as a known quantity in the ecosystem, and then opportunities open up for you. And that's what I experienced.
So at this point, what other alternatives did you have had Salesforce not worked out for you at that, the kind of 11-month mark?
Yeah, so I mean, I mentor a lot of folks, both veterans and non-veterans, whoever's interested in entering the ecosystem or wanting to progress. You know, I have chats with them, and you know, they always ask similar questions. You know, what were you going to do if you didn't have this as an option? And really, at some point, you have to commit. You know, I've seen people that didn't want to fully commit because they were worried about the risk associated with, well, what happens if I spend all this time learning, right, and getting certs, and then no one hires me? Well, you have to do your research. And before I decided upon this path, I did my research. So I knew that Salesforce was huge. It's used all over the world. And so there's going to be no shortage of jobs. It's only growing, right? But I was also concerned, okay, well, what if I come out as an admin and it turns out I don't like it, right? I need to be able to be flexible. So I began looking into the different career paths, and there's tons of different things you can do in the ecosystem. You can be an admin, you can be a developer, you can be a consultant, you can be, you know, customer success manager, all these different things, project program manager for Salesforce. So I knew that if I, you know, I got tired of one role, I could transition to a different role. So with the risk removed, from my perspective at least, I was all in. I burned all bridges. I gave up all further attempts to go anywhere else. And I focused 100% of my time on pursuing Salesforce as a career option.
I think that is so important. Like that story you mentioned about people say, oh, if I get all these certifications and I can't find a job. But what if you don't get all those certifications and you still can't find a job? You know, like, well, is that a better situation to be in anyway? Absolutely not. Like, I had someone reach out to me recently and they said, I'm really keen on a role in Salesforce. Like, this is what I think I can do. And I always ask the question, well, what have you done so far to put yourself in a position to get a job or even to test that this is the right career for you? And their response was, well, I know there's Trailhead, but I don't want to commit to doing Trailhead unless I know I can definitely get a job.
Right.
And, you know, that was the last conversation I've had with that person, because it's like, well, I can't do the work for you. You know, you've got to put the effort in yourself, and then someone like me can help. And, you know, I can't take you to a client and say they're not doing Trailhead because they're worried they won't get a job. But if you tell them you'll hire them, they'll do some Trailhead badges. It's like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fear of commitment can definitely sabotage you. You have to be willing to put in the time and the effort to perfect your craft and not consider failure to be an option. Like when I decided upon Salesforce, there was no failure, right? I had my kids depending on me. I had to have a paycheck. So I was going to succeed regardless of what it took.
Sure.
And when you have mindset, it works out for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And those three pillars that you mentioned, which one of those was the hardest for you?
So I think the knowledge piece is pretty easy. I'm good at taking tests, and I already fell in love with the platform, so it wasn't hard to learn. Getting the work experience, it came with the third piece, the personal brand. I've been working on my personal brand for a while. So when I actually felt like I was ready and I went out and I asked for a volunteer position, I had one in 3 days. And that's not going to be true for everyone, right? You know, you may struggle a little bit to find it, but whether I was lucky or whether it was because I'd spent a lot of time on that network, I was very, very quickly able to get that position. And I leveraged that to get another position and further positions down the road. So once you have one, you can create more opportunities from that. The hardest part for me was personal brand, because it's so foreign to me as a military officer. Like, we are used to working on a team, and you don't brag, you know, it's the team, and you put your team first, you put the sailors below you first, you never trumpet your own achievements. And so you have to do that in a way in the, I call it the civilian, you know, professional economy, that communicates your value, but doesn't come off like you're bragging. And so it's a balance.
So do you, because I see a lot of people that are hesitant to build a personal brand, and they've not had the career you've had, where you, like you say, it's so much about team and not that, you know, there's no I in team, and so many people are hesitant, but they haven't had that 20 years of kind of conditioning not to have a personal brand. So why do you think so many people are so hesitant to put themselves in a position to be seen?
I think there's a general uncomfortability about trumpeting your accomplishments. And then there's also just folks that recognize, hey, I know I'm supposed to have a personal brand. I have no idea how to go about doing it. The majority of the conversations that I have with veterans and non-veterans are, hey, Dave, can you talk to me about marketing myself? I know I'm supposed to do it. I have no idea how. I see other people, you know, have great success in the ecosystem. I want to have that too. What do I do? And if you haven't sat down and thought about it and done experimentation, and there's a lot of, you know, trial and failure on my part in those early months, figuring out what worked and what didn't work and then tweaking it, I can't tell you the number of times I deleted my LinkedIn account and started over because I wasn't happy with the results I was having. And so I just, you know, deleted all the connections, start again, and we got to get this right. So I think it's a combination. It's not feeling comfortable talking about their accomplishments, and or not just knowing how to do it.
Yeah, I think often people overthink it, right? Because it's like, well, a lot of people think what they're about to say isn't going to be interesting to other people. But it's amazing how untrue that is. Like, and ultimately, all you're doing is pulling people that have an interest in the topics that you're interested in towards you. So it's people think they're going to get negative comments if they post about themselves, or. But it's so rare that that happens, especially in an ecosystem like Salesforce, where everyone's kind of cheering for each other and trying to push each other on. But it's just the case of starting, right? Once you start, you feel more comfortable, and that kind of develops.
Yeah, and what I tell people is, I'm like, in order to promote yourself, you have to generate content, right? So, you know, any company in the world, to market their brand, they generate content. Otherwise, you'd never hear of them. And so you have to be the same. You have to generate content along those channels, the social media channels, to tell people about yourself and communicate your value. And they're like, well, what content can I generate? I just entered. I don't know anything. I'm like, that's awesome. You don't have to, right? It's a crawl, walk, run methodology. When you're crawling, you just entered. Your content is questions. People in the ecosystem love two things more than anything else. They love trumpeting your achievements because we're all a supportive, you know, community. And they love answering questions. I mean, there's a whole ideas and answers community that's based on, you know, asking and answering questions. Mm-hmm. And so if you ask questions, you're going to get answers. And that's where you can start. And then as you start earning things, you know, badges, super badges, announce that, you know, talk about it in a post. And people will absolutely comment and celebrate that with you. And as you get more experience, right, you can parrot content back. And what I mean by that is, go out there and attend a webinar, or go to a release readiness, you know, session, or, you know, go learn something on Trailhead, and then share that with people in a post. And obviously you want to attribute your source, but not everyone has the time to go do that. So they're going to appreciate your little snippet that communicates to them what you learned. And that's awesome. Or reshare someone else's post. I can't count the number of times I've done that. And I've had like 15 people reshare the post that I didn't even create and thank me, you know. So it's things like that. And then once you get more experience and you're more savvy, you can generate your own content. You're creating original things.
Sure. So without the personal brand, would you be where you are today, in your opinion?
No, not at all. I think I would have gotten hired, but the personal brand opened up all the different doors and all the different opportunities, and it builds on itself in ways that you can't even imagine. And so what I mean by that is, like, I attended a Salesforce event, a corporate event in Boston, and I met an individual who knew the person that runs the admin podcast. And they were like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? Because we had a conversation and they were interested in the fact that I was a veteran and I was passionate about the platform. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So they introduced me, and lo and behold, I got to be on the podcast. And then that got me an invite to another podcast, you know, Mike Wheeler's podcast. And that got me invite to another podcast. And then, you know, I developed a close relationship with VetForce at the time. Now it's Trailhead Military and the military trailblazer community. And I got invited to go to Trailhead DX on their dream team, which is where they sponsor 50 folks and they pay for your way to go to Trailhead DX. And then I found myself on the website. And so that opened up other opportunities because I was, you know, I had much broader exposure now. And so just things started happening. And the more that I continued to promote myself, you know, in a way that wasn't bragging, it was humble and it emphasized gratitude, which is, you know, one of the keys that you have to do is thank folks because you don't get anywhere you are today by yourself. But the more I did that, the more opportunities would appear as if by magic. But it's not magic. It's all the work that I put into prior to that, developing that brand.
Sure. Now you give a lot back now, which I think is really a key part of anyone's journey, right? Once you've achieved something and got to where you are, to help others, and you volunteer and give up your time to help people that are going through that journey to find their own career path in the ecosystem. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, Salesforce, the company that I work for now, is really based upon giving back. You know, as you and I both know, they give 10 licenses to 501c3 nonprofits, and they've inculcated this culture at Salesforce of the importance of giving back. And so they give you a certain amount of time, you know, days off to volunteer. They incentivize volunteering. So that's one of the reasons why I was so interested in working for Salesforce, because I get to do that as part of my profession. But aside from that, in entering the ecosystem, like I said, you don't do anything by yourself. You succeed because people are willing to help you. People are willing to volunteer their time to help you. And so there's tons of folks that put in their time and effort to make sure that I had an opportunity to succeed and gave that to me. And I wanted to give back and provide that for other folks so they could get their start. And so, you know, one of the organizations that helped me succeed was Merivis. Merivis is another 501c3 nonprofit. It's veteran focused, and they provide Salesforce education and training to veterans and spouses of military members. So not only did they take me in and provide those courses for me with the VetForce vouchers that I got, but they also invited me to work for them. And so I was a consultant for them, helping them develop their org, but also getting valuable work experience. And 4Block, the other company that I mentioned, the other nonprofit organization, they also invited me to be their admin. That was the first role that I got, which was also a valuable experience. And so because so many folks have given me so much and enabled me to get where I am today and then continue to give back to me, you know, I have tons of mentors to this day. I want to give back and I want to provide that for them. So if I can open up opportunities for my brothers and sisters that are following, you know, in my footsteps, then I'm more than happy to do that.
Sure. And when, because you give up your time to speak to people, like if someone reaches out to you and asks for, you know, can we have a chat and can I pick your brains on something, you quite regularly give back. What traits do you see in the people that are really successful and then go on to become, you know, successes in the Salesforce ecosystem, aside from like the technology bit? Is the passion just the key one, or is there more that you see in the people that quite quickly find their way in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great question. It's a lot of people wonder, you know, I've never had a background in tech. I don't know, you know, I've never been an admin before. Can I mentally do the job? Like, is it hard to take all this information in? And I am not the smartest man on earth. I'm a rock. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. And so, you know, I always tell them, yeah, you can absolutely do it. That's not the hard part, right? The hard part and the traits that the people have that ultimately succeed are folks that, you know, have an outstanding work ethic and attention to detail. You know, if you're willing to get up early in the morning and go to work to perfect your craft, to practice, you know, even when you don't have a guarantee of a job yet, because you haven't gotten to the point where people are offering you opportunities, you know, if you're willing to do that, and you're willing to also spend the time to enhance your personal brand, you know, another aspect of that work ethic, then over time, you know, that's going to make you successful. It's this mindset of achievement that you have to have. So it's the folks that have work ethic, but it's also the folks that set goals and continue to set goals. And that's the key, is you can't stop learning. You can't stop setting goals. Because once you do that, you become, you know, you become complacent, you stop learning, and you become really irrelevant because the ecosystem is changing so fast, you have to keep moving yourself forward.
Sure. So your first full-time role was with a company that you've done some like internship work with, right? A partner.
Yeah.
So from getting that break to where you are now, how did you set goals and how did you make sure that you were still developing and learning and going along the career path that you wanted?
Yeah, so, I mean, in the context of my journey, 3 months before I was going to retire, I was working for a couple different nonprofits, as I mentioned, Four Block and Merivis, getting some great experience. And I leveraged that to convince a company, PulseSource, which is a Salesforce Platinum consulting firm, to give me a chance. The Department of Defense will provide folks 3 to 6 months professional internship time to take a break from, you know, being in the military. And actually, they'll still pay your military salary, but they will let you go do a professional internship. So I applied for that program. I was accepted and I reached out to PulseSource and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in taking me on? And they did. I met with them. They took me on. So at that point, my immediate goals were, okay, there's an opening now, right? I've got a chance to, at the end of this 3 month period, when I actually, no kidding, I'm going to retire and will be jobless, to convert that into a job. So that was my immediate goal, was get the job. And in order to get there, I knew that I had to continue to learn. Because at that point, I had three certifications. I had admin, I had a platform app builder, and I had sales cloud. So just enough to get my foot in the door. But most consulting firms that I've run across want you to have at least 5 certs, you know, sales cloud, service cloud, or the popular ones, obviously, because those are our largest products. And then, you know, you want to keep going from there. And so once I'd gotten the internship, I continued to learn and earn badges and learn by earning certifications. And so at that point, I was a 5-time ranger. So I had 500 badges. And I talked about my personal brand. One of the ways, one of the facets of my personal brand was my work ethic. But you can't just say I have great work ethic and expect people to believe you and use that as your personal brand, right? No one says I'm a terrible worker. Everyone's got great work ethic. So I had to show it. And the way that I figured out the best way to show that would be to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could, and earn those badges. And so I kept earning them. I had goals to be 6-time, 7-time, 8-time ranger. I wanted to have 10 certifications. And so I worked towards those until that 3 month period was over and it was my last day in the Navy. And then at that point, I had a couple different companies reach out to me that were interested, PulseSource being one of them. And I ultimately accepted, you know, the offer from PulseSource, and they brought me on board as a junior solution architect. And so, you know, I had succeeded beyond my wildest dreams. I'd gone in 11 months, I'd gone from not knowing what Salesforce was to having a 6-figure salary as a solution architect for a platinum consulting firm that, you know, that does very well in the ecosystem. But, you know, I wasn't satisfied. I needed to set more goals. You know, I achieved the immediate goals, but I wanted to set more goals. And so I did. And I you know, I've got tons of goals now that will take me years to complete. And when I complete those, I'll set more.
Sure. Working for Salesforce, was that a goal or was that just an opportunity that presented itself?
No, that was always my dream job. And I applied for a bunch of different roles and was turned down. And so I was like, okay, you know, I will eventually get there. I never gave up, but I'm like, it's probably not in the cards right now. I'm going to focus on PulseSource, do really well here, help them succeed, and we'll revisit that later. And it's funny because I didn't apply for the job that I have now. Salesforce reached out to me, and it was because of that personal brand. It was because I had kept developing. I kept developing it. I kept working towards it, and it paid off. And they reached out to me one day and said, hey, would you like to interview for this role? And I was floored. And I said, well, yeah. Where were you, you know, 8 months ago when I first asked? But when I reached back out to the recruiter, I said, hey, listen, you know, I've been wanting to work here forever. What was it about me as a candidate that drew you in, that convinced you to make me the offer to interview? And she said, you know, I went on your LinkedIn profile and it was your tagline, you know, the line underneath your name, which, you know, where you can put whatever you are. And at the time I had a succinct and a list of all of my accomplishments at that point in the ecosystem. So I was a lightning champion. And I think at that point I was a 7- or 8-time ranger. And I was a solution architect with PulseSource. And I had thrown some emojis in there just for color, but she's like, you know, you communicated your value in that short little line. And that's what convinced me to dive a little bit deeper into your LinkedIn profile and see what else was in there. And then when she unpacked that and saw my experience and all the things I'd put in there, she was like, okay, I'm going to see if he wants to interview.
Sure. I mean, there's so many messages to take from this discussion. I think like resilience is one, and you know, absolutely single-mindedness, like you've got to go for the goal, but you have to be creative. Like there's so much that goes to building a brand that you know, it is just starting, but you also have to put some effort into it, right? And not just, it doesn't just build overnight. But yeah, I think people need to kind of listen to this and take on everything you said, because you had a goal and you had multiple goals and you pushed hard to get there. but no one else did it for you. And I think that's really key. Had you not had the resilience and the fight and determination to get where you are, it wouldn't have all just fallen on your plate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what I want people to understand is that anybody can be successful in this ecosystem. Anybody. You're only limited by your own, you know, work ethic. You can do whatever you want to do. And I've experienced that time and time again. If you're willing to work hard and if you truly love what you're doing, it's going to show. And it becomes easy. You know, I don't really go to work each day when I'm solutioning for customers. I'm playing and I'm having a good time and I'm solving problems and solving puzzles and I genuinely enjoy it. And when you have that, when you found that, you can't help but to succeed.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what are you excited about for what's still to come?
Gosh, so I mean, there's so many opportunities at Salesforce as a company that, you know, it's exciting to look forward and imagine where I might be in 2, 5, 10 years from a role perspective, from a certification perspective, from my ability to reach out and help other folks. You know, they're always doing great things. So they recently partnered with Veterati to provide focused mentoring calls for veterans. And it provides those veterans and veteran spouses the ability to reach out directly to Salesforce employees and form that mentee-mentor relationship. So I took advantage of that. There's a Trailhead Guide program where if you're a Trailhead aficionado, as I like to think that I am, you can offer your expertise and tell companies about it and go trumpet Trailhead and explain why it's so awesome. And so I'm wearing my Trailhead Guide t-shirt. Obviously, I'm in that program. But it's things like that. It's the ability to dive even deeper and explore more of the ecosystem, which is vast and only growing, that I truly enjoy. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to see, you know, what I can keep doing to perfect my craft. So right now I'm working on my application architect because I really want to have that strategic level view of the platform. And I find that the more that I learn, the more that it helps me solve the problems for customers, which brings them enjoyment, which I take, you know, genuine pleasure in. So,
and for anyone, because as I said, you do give back and you do answer questions and help people on their journey. If anyone from anywhere in the world wants to kind of pick your brains on or ask, you know, I'm doing this but not getting much engagement, you know, how could I improve my brand, things like that. Like, where's the best place for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, so I would say shoot me a message on LinkedIn. I will typically respond that day or the next day. And that's a great way to have, you know, short focused conversations. What I've tried to do is as I get a lot of folks that are interested in one specific area, I'll develop like a presentation on that that has a list of resources and it's got helpful tips and best practices. And so I've got one of those like for taking tests. I'm working on one right now to utilize Trailhead to break into the ecosystem or to do better if you're already in the ecosystem. And it focuses on those three steps that I talked about, you know, the platform knowledge, the work experience, how to get it, the personal brand, how to create one, and how to use those three things in concert with each other to generate success in the ecosystem. You know, as people reach out to me and as they have these questions, more than happy to answer them and try to steer them in the right direction. So that presentation will be ready here in a couple of months, and I'll share that with whoever's interested.
Sure. Well, look, thank you so much. I've really, really loved hearing your story and seeing how you've achieved what you've achieved and excited to see what the future brings. So thank you and keep doing everything you're doing because it's great to see.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much, Ben. Thanks so much for having me as a guest. You know, I love talking about Salesforce, so it's truly been a pleasure for me.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.